Take a trip to Paradise Island without leaving Corpus Christi. Saturday, February 27th, Incarnate Word Academy will host their annual fundraising gala at the American Bank Center. Proceeds will help provide funding for critical tuition assistance, enriched academic and athletic programs, and facility and technology enhancements. Events begin at 6 p.m. with the silent auction, then dinner, a spirit auction, a children's art auction, an elite big board auction, and a live auction, and of course, great music. To help sponsor this event or donate auction items, purchase tickets, or get more information, call Amy at 883-8229 or visit iwacc.org/gala. Incarnate Word Academy, celebrating 145 years of educational excellence.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this first Sunday of Advent. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear the Gospel from St. Luke and talk about the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. Make your plans now for the 2016 Diocese of Corpus Christi Ministry Conference entitled Family and Mercy, United by Love, at the American Bank Center on January 9th with keynote speakers Dr. Ray Guarendi, a clinical psychologist, author, speaker, and radio host, and Christian singer-songwriter, guitarist, and youth minister Jackie Francois. This conference, which will offer a wide range of topics, is open to anyone interested in learning more about the Catholic faith and will feature talks in both English and Spanish, a youth track for 11 to 17-year-olds, a daycare ministry for 3 to 11-year-olds, and a number of workshops dealing with marriage and the family. Doors will open at 7 a.m. with Mass at 8:30 a.m. with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. For complete details, please call the Chancery Office, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Fine, Barbara. Happy Advent to
you. I know. Thank you. And to you also. We start a new liturgical year.
Yes, we do. And the beautiful season of Advent, preparing ourselves for the birth of Christ.
Oh, that's wonderful. And the Advent wreaths, and it's wonderful. Well, with this liturgical year, our Gospels are from St. Luke. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, this is the first Sunday of Advent, and
yes,
it's a wonderful season.
It is.
This Sunday, we had the Advent wreaths at Mass, and we've lit the first candle.
Yes. Advent is really has almost a dual significance, that we sometimes maybe miss, but it's also a preparation. The first significance of it is the preparation for the celebration of Christmas, reminding us that Christ has come. And so it's like preparing to celebrate what's already happened, that Christ, the Son of God, has come among us. And so it's to prepare ourselves to celebrate that event of Christ's first coming. But it's also a reminder to us that he will come again. And this is the great mystery, I think, that escapes us way too much. We get so involved again in the day-to-day that we forget that we proclaim during Mass, every time we celebrate Mass, he will come again. And so many times we live life as though he's not coming again. But we are reminded through this Adventist season, especially in these first 2 weeks of Advent, that he will come again. Our gospel today reminds us of that with these signs, that there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, the stars, and on earth there will be nations in great dismay. Perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves, people will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. And then they will see the Son of Man, St. Luke says. Well, all of that, of course, is an anticipation, is a prophetic proclamation. But it says to us that we don't live in fear, but we live, as we talked about last week on the Feast of Christ the King, that our homeland is somewhere else. Our true homeland, the true place where we are at home and where we are at peace and where we are ourselves. And so life is about preparing, giving to our world so that others can be evangelized, so that others can come to know Christ, but knowing that our journey will lead us to that eternal homeland.
Right. And it's and if we keep on thinking that, then we'll realize that we need to live our lives accordingly.
Right. And we live, the word I used last week, very engaged. We need to be engaged, but detached. It's almost, we are unique. I guess as I just said that, I realize how unique we are as people. As people of faith, as Christians, we need to be totally engaged but totally detached.
That's a fine line.
It's a fine line, sure. If you look at it in terms of family life, a mother and a father needs to be totally engaged with their kids, with their children, but also detached, meaning that these children belong to God. I've had many stories, heard many stories of beautiful families where a child is maybe ill or even has died, and the great pain, but also these parents saying, he or she was God's, not mine. And I realize that at the bedside to the very moment and even mourning still, but knowing that this child belonged to God. I think the word that best describes all this is stewardship, and that's why we've stressed so much about stewardship, and Advent brings that reality up for us, is that we are given the goods of the earth. We're given personal talents, certain things that we're capabilities, but they're not for us to possess. They're for us to use, to apply to the society, to the people, the family that's around us, but we're also detached from those things because, as we say in these cliches, you can't take it with you.
Right.
It's not yours. It's not mine. And so we live in this world as if we were heading somewhere else, which is the reality of that. So Advent is really that time of preparing us to celebrate that fact of stewardship, the fact of Christ coming again, and then also celebrating as we get closer to Advent, especially the last 9 days, that we're celebrating the first coming of Christ as well.
I was looking at the Magnificat for December, and it was talking about the Advent wreath and how, the families can gather together, and light the candle and say the prayers. And what a beautiful thing for families to do together, because you've talked about how the strength of the families when they pray together, and what a beautiful thing for them to have. And it can be a simple Advent wreath.
Right. And I had someone write to me recently asking me to encourage, and I certainly would do that. I will do that more. Encourage families to pray, together. Pray the rosary. If you don't know how, go ask the priest or get a book. It's not that difficult. But praying the rosary, praying together, if it's the rosary or something else, but I would definitely suggest the rosary. There's something about that moment, which is a moment of God, which is a moment that links a family together beyond what it seems like. But those moments are precious, and they say something to the family. I remember many times in my life, my father especially, when someone died in the family, even an aunt, an uncle, or just other things, my dad would say, everybody in the family room, we're going to pray the rosary, you know, kind of rough like, but, you know, that's who he was.
Right.
But I remember him kneeling down with us and slumped over the couch or something. We were on our knees as a family, and we prayed. Mm-hmm. And my mother oftentimes says, you know, she's sitting at the table where she lives with all the different people, and they're talking about this child and that child. And she kind of just says, well, my children still talk to each other. They still get together. And I think part of that is the fact that we prayed together. So
right.
Advent around the wreath, family prayer, there's no substitute for it. There's no other kind of activity that a family can do that's more precious and more investing in the reality of family than praying together. So I would definitely encourage and please encourage people to do that.
Well, and it's a great time to do it because we're the first week of December, and we're starting a new liturgical cycle, you know, so we can start new things. We don't have to wait till the first of the year,
right?
January 1st.
You know, oftentimes, you know, people, I don't know how, sometimes I think people don't do it because it may seem awkward. It's so different from the normal activities that we do. Going to movies, watching television, going to football games, soccer games, school, and we're so scattered.
True. Busy.
Prayer brings us into the center of life, and I think it would be a wonderful opportunity to begin, as you said, for this Advent, to find that time, light the wreath. If you don't have an Advent wreath, you can get one, or if you don't have one, that's fine, but just be together and pray. It's an activity that links us to heaven, and that's what we all need.
It'd be a beautiful thing to start. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will have the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Whether you've seen it before or never experienced a live nativity production at St. John Paul II High School, you'll want to go this December 7th, 8th, or 9th. From 6 till 8 each evening, you can take the whole family on a drive through this massive event on the St. John Paul II High School campus. Enter through the Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School campus at 3114 Saratoga to pick up your hot chocolate and snacks. And then continue next door to witness the story of Mary, Joseph, and the birth of Jesus, as depicted by over 200 students. Gates will close promptly at 7:50 each evening. After all, it is a school night. So plan to get there early. Donations will be accepted as you exit the school grounds. The greatest story ever told comes to life in a big way at St. John Paul II High School, December 7th through the 9th. For complete information, call the school, 855-5744.
Curcio is a movement that helps Christian lay people become effective Christian leaders. Included in a Curcio weekend retreat are numerous talks by priests and laypersons. The goal is for attendees to take what they've learned back into the world. An important point stressed is personal, spiritual development. All Curcioistas are invited to a workshop of formation at the Curcio Center, 1200 Lantana, December 5th, from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. For more information, please call Father Angel Montana at Sacred Heart Church, 992-6082.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, as is our tradition, we have the Word of Life for December, which is, but to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. And this is from John.
Right. Accepting him, that's the key word here. But to those who do accept him, he gave power to become children of God. The great news that Jesus announced to humanity is this: we have the possibility of becoming children of God through grace. To whom is this grace given? To those who did accept him, and to those who will accept him in the course of centuries. How should we receive it? We must accept Jesus in faith and in love, believing in him as our Savior. Let's try to understand more deeply what it means to be children of God. It is enough to look at Jesus, the Son of God, and at his rapport with the Father. Jesus prayed to his Father, as in the Our Father. For him, the Father was Abba, which means Dad, a person he turned to with infinite trust and limitless love. Since he came down on earth for us, however, it was not enough for him to be the only one in this privileged position. By dying for us, redeeming us, he made us children of God, his own brothers and sisters. And through the Holy Spirit, he also gave us the possibility of being introduced into the heart of the Trinity, so that we too have the possibility of repeating the same divine invocation, Abba, Father. We too can say, Our Dad, My Dad. This invocation implies many things: the certainty of his protection, real confidence, trustful surrender to his love, divine consolation, strength, ardor, the ardor experienced when one is certain of being loved. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. What makes us one with Christ and sons and daughters with him and in him is baptism and the life of grace that conforms to it. Moreover, this passage from the Gospel also reveals to us the profound dynamism of being children of God, which we need to live out day after day. In fact, it is really necessary to become children of God. We grow as children of God by corresponding to his gift, by living his will, which is summed up entirely in the commandment of love, love for God and love for one's neighbors. To accept Jesus means to recognize him in all our neighbors. And then our neighbors, too, will have the possibility of recognizing Jesus and believing in him if they are able to discern in our love for them a glimmering spark of the Father's boundless love. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. During this month in which we celebrate Jesus' birth on earth, let's try to relate to one another by seeing and serving Jesus in one another. And then a reciprocity of love, knowledge, and life, like the reciprocity that links the Father to the Son in the Spirit, will also be established between us and the Father, so that Jesus' invocation, Abba, Father, will ever be on our lips. By Kara Lupik.
Well, once again, a lot for us to think about this month, about being the children of God.
Right. You know, I've had a sense how all the things that we read really lead us to that encounter with Jesus, which is a faith encounter, to really know that he is the one who has adopted us, or the Father has adopted us through him to make us also his children. And I think many of the statements that she makes here really have to do with our faith, which means our accepting the fact that we are children of God. Perhaps many times we accept these things, the knowledge of that or the reality of that, but there's another level of acceptance, accepting it deep within. We see it lived out in the life of Jesus where, you know, he wanted to not enter into his passion. So, Father, take this cup away. But the acceptance was, not my will, but yours be done. Or on the cross, why have you abandoned me? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And so even in the Sermon on the Mount, which is takes up Matthew's gospel between chapters 5, 6, and 7, we find Jesus speaking to us of the love of the Father, that look at the lilies of the field, you know, but you're worth more than the lilies, or the sparrow doesn't drop out of the tree to the ground without your Father knowing it, but you're worth more. You know, it's such a profound reality that she's speaking of here, and that Jesus is saying to us, the fact of being children of God. We need to spend time with that if we're going to really embellish this life of faith, this year of faith, in who we are, that we are children of God. That is an acceptance that, if really accepted at that deeper level, not just at the cognitive level of, yeah, I know that, but at the level of experience, to experience that we are children of God in all things, changes the way we live, the way we see life, and see so many things. And so I would invite everybody to take this word and read it again. Again, you can find these on our websites of KLUX and also at the diocese. You can find this commentary that I've just read, and really work with accepting that we are children of God, which means accepting myself as well.
Well, and when I think about this, children of God, it's everybody. You know, it's all of our brothers and sisters. It's the homeless. It's everybody. We're all children
of God.
That's
right.
It's not just you and not me. It's all of us.
Good point, because I think sometimes when we talk in terms of spirituality, we're talking about ourselves, and we need to grow there, but we also need to look at if that's the case for me, then it's the case for you. It's the case for everyone who is created, who is in the child in the womb, mm-hmm. Before born, is still a child of God, is a life that God has brought about. So these are all things that we need to spend time with and integrate and allow the grace of God. Because it is grace. I mean, grace is gift, right. Is pure gift. It's not earned. It's a gift. And to simply accept the fact that we are children of God, the grace is there to live that out as well. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the places that I think as we're in Advent now, one of the moments of encounter, because the sacraments are encounters with the divine, with Christ, and especially during Advent, but throughout the year, we should encounter the mercy of God in the sacrament of penance. Cardinal Dolan really spent much of his president's address speaking about the call to penance, the call to a conversion. But after he kind of just gave a rundown of all the things that are on our plate, he came back to where do we start with all of this, and it's personal conversion, personal penance, inviting us to celebrate the sacrament of penance regularly in our life as bishops, as Christians, first of all, as Christians. At the bishops' meeting, we meet twice a year, and the last day or the last half day is always spent on a day of prayer, Eucharistic adoration, and there are confessors there. Mm-hmm. And it's such a wonderful time to be able to celebrate the sacrament. And, you know, the effect that I found this year in celebrating the sacrament is that so often as we even look at our own personal sins, our shortcomings, the offenses that we may have committed against another person, but it's almost as if you because we think of it, it's, I don't know if we call it guilt or healthy guilt, let's hopefully it's called that, but you get into that mentality. And almost as if you're burdened by that. My experience in going to confession a couple of weeks ago with that with the bishops was just kneeling in front of a confessor who was much younger than I was, but just speaking those sins. What a burden lifts off. I mean, not that there's anything heavy, but you just get kind of wrapped up in yourself, and you realize that you're turning all of this over to the grace of the Father, that in that moment, I am a child of God, and I realize that. And so there's so much, I think, fear or whatever that surrounds the celebration of the sacrament that people don't go. Maybe embarrassment. I don't know what it is, but of course that's where the anonymity is available for us. But just to be able to go, and you know what? We don't have to explain anything. You know, confession is not about explaining away everything I've done. It's stating the sin, asking forgiveness, the grace of forgiveness, which is a gift from God, and being freed to be children of God. That is the sacrament. And so I, during this Advent season and living this Word of Life to become children of God, would encourage many to seek out the sacrament in your parishes, to just be a child of God for Advent in preparation for Christmas.
And how beautiful that you said that it's getting rid of a burden.
Exactly. Which weighs us down way too much.
Right. Well, Bishop, if you could close our session with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.